Hello and welcome to The Great British Sitcom, the show in which we watch some potentially forgotten sitcom classics to see if they've stood the test of time. I'm Mark, and as ever, I'm joined by my co-host, Chris Wood.
Hello.
And Chris Wood. Also, Chris... Got that wrong.
Sake.
Who are you? Chris Jones. There we go.
That's not funny anymore. Like we used, before, we were like, ha-ha, Mark's, so, in the, Mark's so competent. But it's just boring.
which is in many ways worse. And I think if we watch this back or listen to this back, I think I said potentially wrong as well. Never mind.
What?
I think I mumbled the word potentially.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I felt it. I was like, please don't notice. But now you know. Today we're watching To the Man of Bourne, and we're likely watching, scroll down. Oh, no, we're not. Series 1, Episode 3, Rhythms of the Earth, or Going to the Church. We're not quite sure what we're watching.
What?
It wasn't clear on IMDb, I think. I think I've got different names from different places. You guys are like quite reaching for your phone already. You're probably going to tell me otherwise.
I don't know.
What's this? What?
To the Man of Bourne. So I don't actually know what episode we're watching today. So
What series is it?
Series 1 and then Episode 3. And then it should hopefully be Rhythms of the Earth. Or Going to Church. While you're finding that, Jones, do you want to read the series premise?
Yeah.
It's quite a long one.
Well, series premise. Audrey Forbes Hamilton is sad when her husband dies, but is shocked when she realises that she has to leave Grantley Manor, where her family has lived forever. The new owner is Richard Devere, owner of a major supermarket chain. Audrey makes sure she's on hand to keep an eye on him by buying the old lodge on the edge of the manor grounds. As time goes by, both Richard and Audrey realises that they are both falling for each other, but both are too shy to do anything about it. Meanwhile, Mrs. Paluvica, Richard's mother, brackets, he changes his name to help him in his business, close brackets, there's a situation between Richard and Audrey and is determined to see that Richard does the right thing. Audrey's friend Marjorie Frobisher and butler Braybinger are on hand to help out if necessary. Written by Peter Spence, Rosemary and Time. Not 9 o'clock news.
Is that a series premise?
Serious premise.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
all right.
Heavy.
It's called Rhythms of the Earth / Going to Church. So it's like a little double barreled title, sort of Shakespearean in a way, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's not like I've not got two episodes then. It is one thing.
Yeah, it is one. Yeah.
Cool.
Just couldn't decide. Couldn't pick between those two titles.
Nice. All right then. Well, James, you already read out who it's written by, which is great. Thank you for that. Series ran for 4 series and 22 episodes in total between 79 and 81, but there was a special one-off episode in 2007. You might have seen the rating in this. Did you see the rating?
No.
Do you want to have a guess what it was?
7.
It's always a good shot.
7.6.
Oh, 7.5.
Close.
Well done. This episode...
Still wrong.
This series, sorry, stars Penelope Keith as Audrey, or 2 F's, Forbes Hamilton, The Good Life. What, she was in Woof. Executive Stress. I don't know what that is. Peter Bowles as Richard Devere, Only When I Laugh and Citizen Khan. Angela Thorne as Marjorie Frommishaw. They're not making these names easy.
No.
From the BFG, Emmerdale, and
the BFG.
Yeah.
With the cartoon?
Not sure.
No, the actual historical event.
Yeah, the documentary.
Documentary.
BFG was good shit, wasn't it? I can't remember the BFG.
Oh, I don't really have any memory of it.
What?
Oh, I know what it's about. It's about a big friendly giant, but, you know, that's is that the gist of it? That's pretty much it, isn't it?
They go around with the dreams and blow them for a big trumpet.
Dreams?
They what?
Isn't that what he does?
I don't know. I've never seen that.
He blows them for a trumpet?
Yeah, the special trumpet, and he blows the dreams into your ear.
Oh.
Eat snozcumbers.
Delicious snozcumbers.
Delicious.
Is that a derivative of the snozberry
and a cucumber?
Like some sort of he's some sort of botanist, and he's
what's snozberry? Is it from Willy Wonka?
Yeah, well, not from Willy Wonka. He didn't invent it, but I guess it was a fruit that pre-existed in
same universe. Loveland. I guess it rolled down, wasn't it?
Yeah, cinematic universe. Interesting. Literary universe, isn't it? Yeah. Most ambitious crossover event.
How many times have we made that joke in this fucking podcast?
The Roald Dahl connected universe.
Wonka versus Giant.
Wonka versus Giant. There was an Easter egg where there was a big peach pip in the back of Charlie and Chocolate Factory, wasn't there?
Sorry for the fans.
Oh my god, does this mean?
Did you see that giant pit? Pit. Stone, isn't it?
Ah, oh, pit. All right, fine. Peach pit. Fine. All right. Pedantic. All right. Could tell someone's Team James.
Yeah, yeah.
Went to London Zoo, couldn't relax. Keep an eye on that rhinoceros.
Yeah, yeah. Favourite Roald Dahls? I don't think I've read any of them. So if I'm honest, I've never read many books as a kid, so not a big statement.
Fantastic Mr. Fox is a bit Roald Dahl, wasn't that Mr. Roald Dahl?
He was.
I was like, Mr. Roald Dahl.
Mr. Roald Dahl. Mr. Roald Dahl, can I get your autograph, please?
Fox is pretty good.
The twits.
Idiots.
Yeah, I don't really, yeah, it's a bit of a weird book.
The cornflakes in his beard, don't they?
Yeah. They have bits of food in his beard and they eat the birds in the garden or something.
Absolutely disgusting.
Put them in a pie.
Can't remember what happens in that, though.
I don't remember what it was about. Yeah, just a couple of idiots. Filth.
All right. The Witch is pretty scary, wasn't it? Remember that?
Again, it's one I remember.
Angelica Houston.
Is that the one where, like, at some point there's like a zombie and he's got his mouth stitched up?
That would be Hocus Pocus, Mark. That's a different film. It has
the Witches
in it.
Is the one. Wasn't that set in, was it in Wales? Oh, it's somewhere like quite country like.
Weird.
And it was they wanted to turn the kids into mouses.
Mice.
Mises.
Yeah, which one's that?
That's The Witches.
Oh, that's, I thought it was the same film.
And then it was sequel Stuart Little, wasn't it?
Yes.
That was the direct sequel.
That was terrible. How bad was that? That remake with... what's the fucking name?
Of what?
The Witches. They did a remake.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, they've done it already.
I don't watch a lot.
Anne Hathaway.
Scary films.
Dreadful. It's too spooky for me.
Well, not for me, but I live with someone who can't watch anything remotely creepy.
Okay.
I like to.
Oh no!
This sounds really weird. This sounds awful.
I like to.
You know where you get that thing where you jump out at someone like scare them?
Okay.
Yeah. And you get like, and you think, oh, that's good, like, because you get to see their reaction. So like, when we're first going out, like, in my parents' house, they had.
You're in the dark alley, yeah. Let's meet there.
The stairs that go up to the loft room, and it was like dark and that. So she's walking back down the corridor. So I just like reached my hand out from the banister.
Oh my god!
And like, and she like jumps out of skin, and then it was like, you little shit. Surprised we carried on going out after that. But then I did nearly give her a heart attack because I decided that she was sitting at the dining table working. She had a like noise cancelling headphones in, and I've come down the stairs and I sort of realised, oh, she hasn't ever come down the stairs.
Opportunity.
So I decided to crawl.
Just the image of you on the floor.
So I'm like crawling on the floor. Crawling along the floor. She doesn't notice me. She's got her headphones on. She's focused on her work. Diligent. You know what I mean? So she's sitting there working. So I decide I'm on the floor underneath the end of the table. What's my play here? Where am I going with this? What am I deciding? So I decide just to pop my head up from the table.
You can imagine your fucking head stoved in. You're lucky you're alive.
What happened? It's good.
It was good. All right, it was good. Let's see how it was good. What happened, Chris?
What was the reaction?
Oh god, yeah, it wasn't good. Yeah, you know when you build it up in your head, like, oh yeah, it's gonna be funny, but yeah. it's really not.
Yeah. So yeah, I think we've covered that to the Man of Bourne.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean Keith, she was in The Good Life, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. Have we done that? We have, haven't we?
Good Life. Yeah, I think so.
Oh yeah, yeah.
A while back, I think it's series one, maybe.
Yeah. Titles from Hamlet by Shakespeare.
What?
Tell him
what the name of the sitcom?
Though I am a native here, even to the Man of Bourne, it is a custom more honoured in the breach than the observance. Good play, Hamlet. Good play. So, seen is like Hamlet?
Mm?
To be or not to be? It's a question. So.
Obviously.
It's filmed in Somerset.
Been to Somerset?
Have I been to? No, I've not been to Somerset, no.
You've been to Somerset?
I don't know. Don't think so.
It's a bit funny, don't they?
Hmm?
It's a bit funny. All right. I'm from Somerset.
I wouldn't know him.
Slowly but surely continuing to alienate the
audience. They haven't got podcasts there, don't worry about it. Fucking farmers. All right.
That's the weird thing about this sitcom. So I know nothing about it. In my head, I think there's like a little motorbike, although I think I might be getting mixed up with someone in Maud. But it feels like it was quite popular. This is a really odd one for me because I know so little about it. So I'm quite looking forward to watching it.
Oh, yeah. Well, what do we think it's going to be? So what is it? Like a manor house?
Yeah. Born there.
Was he born there? Mm-mm. Silver Spoon, all that?
No.
Are they like running it or what? Is it like an attraction or is it just people living in it?
What was the thing? I just read the fucking premise, but I wasn't listening to anything I said. No, I wouldn't blame you. So it's her manor, but like they've had to sell it off because of debts.
Oh, okay.
But she is outbid by this this new money guy, Richard Devere, self-made millionaire, who started his career in East End Fruit Barrow, or classic, and then he started a supermarket chain, etc. So he buys his manor, but then the Penelope Keith, who is to the manor born, buys a, you know, like a little lodge on the grounds.
Right.
So she owns, it's her house, but he's bought it because she can't afford it anymore, bankrupt the family.
So, oh, okay.
So is he like the rough one in this? If he's come from like...
Oh, yeah. He's rough and ready.
And,
ready.
So you're just focusing around like the village life or whatever.
Well, let me say something else. Add something else to the mix. Okay. Devere brings his domineering mother, who is soon nicknamed by Audrey Mrs. Pooh.
Yeah.
They tried to call her Mrs. Shit, but they couldn't. It was before the watershed. Her full name being Maria Jaroslava Vladimira Martinka Polovica.
Okay, so is there going to be any, like, not
xenophobic humour?
That's the word I needed, thank
probably.
You.
Oh, right, she reveals to Audrey, who does not like foreigners, that she and her son came to Britain in 1939 from Czechoslovakia, and that Richard, whose real name is Bedrick Polovicek, is half Polish on his late father Laszlo's side and half Czechoslovak. Mrs. Polovica tries hard to fit into British country life, but her accent often leads to many mispronunciations.
Oh, okay, classic.
And she frequently comes out with sayings from her old Czechoslovakia. Even though Czechoslovakia is not so old for her, she was 15 years old when the country was created in 1919. From early on in the series, she encourages her son to propose to Audrey. This is the first paragraph of six paragraphs of the original series premise.
I think that's enough, if I'm honest. That's a lot.
So what do we think's going to happen? I guess, so we've got this episode, what's it called? Rhythms of the Earth / Going to Church.
I reckon it's something hippie-ish, Rhythms of the Earth.
Really?
Rhythms of the Earth. Or is it like a farming thing, like with the different seasons and the Rhythms of the Earth?
Seasonality, no, yeah. Could be. Going to
church. I think it's hippie stuff. Church, I don't know.
Music in church, maybe?
Well,
I'm trying to link the words.
It's the most fucking, like, basic.
No, maybe.
Interpretation.
Going to church.
Church. That's a building.
That's a building, isn't it? Church.
Like, maybe she, like, goes to join the church choir or something.
The church choir, spire. There's a spire on a church. Maybe she's inspired. There's an organ in church. Maybe he gets his cock out.
Right. So, that aside.
What aside?
Don't know. Just trying to move on.
With that in mind. That said.
It's a good point. But however, let's build on that.
Let's put a pin in that. Come on. Just say what you're going to say next.
I mean, I always ask this question. Theme tune. Anyone know the theme tune? Anyone or guess what it could be?
Oh, it's some sort of gentle classical music, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, like some sort of sleepy little, like, sweeping.
Sleepy?
What do you mean? Like a little sleepy? Like, yeah, why?
I don't want to double check. Sleepy, okay.
All right, what? I'm naming dwarves, am I? Doing, like, a little, not like a little calming.
To the motherfucking bone.
You know what I mean? Like a little calm, like rolling landscapes. No, like it's like got aerial shot, and it like zooms in, and it's got like the manor in its setting, in its land, and it's just got like little nice. Do you know like a little sleepy village?
No,
like
a
little.
I didn't hear the word sleepy.
Rip Van Winkle is a
sorry.
Rip Van.
Wee Willy Winky.
Always trying to feel the time.
Yeah, upstairs, downstairs, in his nightgown. So, yeah.
Yeah, he'd probably be.
If you said it's Winky.
What?
That could be some Willy.
What?
But your surname's already like a slang for a penis, isn't it?
Yeah.
How can we say Willy? Well, it's let's double down on it.
Yeah, but is that like a? Is that was? Is that Willy always Winky. Been a?
didn't think it through.
Billy Winky.
Has that always been a term for a male appendage?
Willy.
Yeah.
And Winky. Get his Winky out.
Like, I can't imagine that would have been like, you know, like a proper term for it. Although I'd imagine that'd be quite a modern thing.
Yeah, well, how language has evolved, you mean, so that's become all of. Yeah, so in that sense, it's a worry that any name at some point in time can become a name for something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Mark has become like slang for a sex offender.
Why did I say this aloud with two people?
There's a fucking Chris. Mark hanging around a primary school.
The thing is, Mark already means so many things. And now
cunt.
Okay.
Fucking useless prick. That kind of stuff.
Okay.
I was like, what is that? Oh, what's the word? Oh, I can't remember what it's called.
Wanker?
No. Yes, that's it. It was on the tip of my tongue since you guys came in. But no, what's the one that's... it's a word that's like a lot of people use it as like a thing, but it actually means like a whale's penis.
Yeah, Google that on my laptop, that's fine.
Is it whale cock?
So specific.
Whale's penis. The only thing that's come up is Welsh grinder.
Is that was already in the search bar. Frequently visited.
Bookmarks. Dork.
Dork, yeah, that is it. Yeah, dork. So like it's a thing in like American things, oh, you're such a dork. Actually, dork is a term for whale's penis.
So we're going to be watching Series 1, Episode 3, Rhythms of the Earth, or Going to Church. We'll see you very shortly. Anyway, yeah, we just watched To the Man of Born, Series 1, Episode 3.
Are we talking about eating crisps?
Sorry, it's normally me, isn't it? what was this called? Rhythm?
Podcast snack.
Crunch. To the man of born. Rhythm of the Earth.
Rhythm of the Earth slash going to church.
Which was much. Mundanely exactly. Well, the second part was like mundanely what it was all about.
Yeah, that was literal.
Really? Yeah, it was very literal. It wasn't like any Rhythm of the Earth. That was a little bit more thinking.
Well, what was Rhythm of the Earth then? Because they said it at one point.
Because that's literally what I said it was. It was about, knowing about
season. Well, the like lambing season and the fact he wasn't...
Sowing and he wasn't getting involved with that kind of stuff.
Is that a...
Rhythms of the Earth is like, yeah, like the seasons.
Like seasons, yeah, seasons.
Harvest, and sowing, and lambing.
Is that a term for that? I don't know.
What, yeah. Season?
I know what season is. It must be like Rhythm of the Earth, is that...
Well, no, I think that's just like the rhythm of the earth, isn't it?
Like what she read out from an article. It
goes through a cycle, doesn't it? Nature has cycles.
Yeah. Circle of life. Wheel of Fortune.
What?
I don't know. Lion King.
Would one of you two like to roughly talk about what the premise of this episode was? I know we covered it before, but like in our own words.
The Rhythm of the Earth bit and the Going to Church bit were the deal where they made, wasn't it? Was that the Rhythm of the Earth was that he agreed that he would let her teach him what the Rhythms of the Earth was for the manor to maintain the manor grounds and stuff properly.
Right.
And his part of the deal was that he would go to church because she asked him to.
I guess there was much less focus on the first bit though, really.
Well, I think it was the idea of like that the person living in the manor is kind of like the head of the village and the community, so they should be leading it and they should be doing kind of like, you know, very much like a baron of the town.
I just couldn't wait to say baron.
And he wasn't. He was just kind of sitting. He was sitting, and let's be honest, this guy was sitting in his pyjamas at 11 a.m. on a Sunday.
Disgusting.
And even I draw the line at 10:30.
Draw the line at pyjamas.
I do wear pyjamas.
It was, well, okay. The majority of it, the comedy was just like, it was derived sort of conversationally, wasn't it? It was very wordy.
Heavy dialogue.
Yeah.
Script, to be technical.
Words. But the last minute completely went against that. They were like, No, I want to get this in. We're gonna just have a handbrake turn, and yeah, but we'll get to that.
Okay, yeah. So should we get to that later? Sorry, have we said what the general premise of this was? I wasn't sure. I've literally written Keith wants Devere to come to church and take things more seriously.
Yeah, she wants him to come to church for a start, to be part of village life. She also wants to take into, yeah, as we said, we touched on, to take his roles as head of the manor more seriously. It's, you know, those are traditions. She invoked the idea of tradition and history of the village and, you know, being the man in the manor house, man of bad men, he should take these things seriously, and she feels that he's not stepping up to it. So, mm-hmm. So how did it even start? Church, wasn't it?
Yeah, it started off as the people coming out of the church. She came out of the church, and she was giving it large about this guy hadn't even turned up. She was hacked off, wasn't she? She wasn't happy.
She was ticked off. Yeah.
Oh, I think I've been to church.
Yeah.
What's that for? Like sermon?
I don't think I've been to normal church. No.
Normal church? What do you mean normal church?
Like a normal Sunday. I've been to like.
I'm not saying have you ever set foot in a church, like, do they usually, like, the alarms go off and the, whoa, salt line. to a normal church.
No, but I mean, I don't think I've been to a normal service. I've been to, been there for a reason.
Oh.
Let the reason be God.
What should be the reason?
What?
What, a reason?
Like a christening or...
Okay, yeah, so you've had an event. There's been something you've been invited to. You've never gone to church necessarily of your own volition. Christingles isn't Christmas Eve. You're mad. That's midnight mass. No, it's around Christmas, but it's not Christmas Eve.
Every time I go to get a Christingles, it's Christmas Eve.
Oh, you just like... Yeah, but just because you took an orange and a candle to church doesn't mean it's a Christingle service. Let's be fair. That's just a snack and a light.
And a light.
Yeah. Christingle service, as I've been to one of them, and it wasn't a Christmas Eve, I'm telling you now.
It was March.
Yeah. It wasn't Christmas Eve. I had an egg.
Put a candle in it, just melted. Listen, you think people are dishing out oranges and dolly mixture, I'm not going to be there.
Right, Midnight Mass.
Midnight Mass is on Christmas Eve, but Christingle's around, yeah.
Right, so what, you're telling me the church is going to double book Midnight Mass / Christingle service?
I think that's a Christingle service. It's for kids, isn't it, Christingle's?
No, the kids just stand no there
what,
and listen.
Despite what they said to me, it's for kids. And so it's going to be sort of, you know, late afternoon, early evening Christingle
services.
I'm saying
it's in Advent, but I'm not saying it's Christmas Eve.
But are you saying it can't be Christmas Eve?
I'm saying it's very unlikely. I've been to a few midnight masses, and I've never, ever seen any oranges.
I didn't say I was at midnight mass.
What?
I didn't say I was at midnight. I've never been to midnight mass.
But you said you went to midnight mass for a Christingle. You said Christingle service was on Christmas Eve.
It is on Christmas Eve.
Maybe in the morning.
It's not in the morning. It's Christmas Eve.
In the evening?
Early evening, late afternoon.
Late afternoon, wow.
Not midnight mass.
If they have, then I guess by the time I got there, they'd removed all evidence.
what's that citrus? I was just cleaning the floor.
Is that Pick-a-Mix van I just saw driving out of here?
Van.
The Pick-a-Mix van. best night of the year.
Christingles are usually held from...
Here we go.
The end of November.
Mm. Blah, that is deranged.
Through to February.
Okay, so it could... Okay, I'll admit... Okay, then, you could have been to a slovenly, late, lackadaisical... We got loads of these oranges, what are we doing with them? Christ.
You've got a job lot of oranges.
Job lot of oranges
got, like,
and candles.
Like a fucking crate of Jaffers, what are we going to do with these?
Orange and candle convention. You never know, could be any of these.
Do you know what I never liked? Should I put cloves in it? Oh, the cloves go in it. I can't stand cloves.
Am I the only one that's never had a Christingle? Is that what that's called?
We don't like have it. Have you had a Christingle? Do you know what I fancy? I'm going to... Steward, go in the fridge. Get a Christingle out while we're watching this film. Mm.
Yeah. Got any matches? I was going to light this. Yep. Cheers. Oh, this is sick, isn't it? Absolutely, it's deranged.
But anyway, right, yeah. So I've been to church. Yeah, it's just long, isn't it? Every Sunday.
Well, are you... So a non-wedding, non-funeral...
Non-wedding wedding funeral. Fucking hell.
Yeah, right. So it starts off the church. That's done. Someone mentions that... what's his name?
Devere. Richard Devere.
Dickie Devere isn't present at church. And she says, well, I'm going to make it my... You know, I'm going to make sure he comes next week. I'm going to make sure he's here next week. So that's quite
not a euphemism then.
What?
He comes here.
I'm going to make sure.
Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. I'm going to wank him off in the church.
Well, she did say, she did mention like stiffies or something. Stiffies, yeah. I don't know what stiffies that was about. I don't know if we misheard that.
No, we didn't say that. I think they were talking about people like a stiff upper lip, I think is what they meant. Or like a stiff back, but I think it's stiff upper lip. So possibly bristling with stiffies was the line she said. Mm. We went, what? At the same time, after having just, like, I think, melted out of existence from not following it anymore.
So from there, she goes round to his house, isn't it? That's when he's in his jannies.
Yeah.
Yeah, she comes around with a paper to, I don't know why, just to give him the paper.
I think it was already there, wasn't it? She was giving it to him.
Was it on his doorstep?
Yeah.
So he probably gets it delivered.
Sorry?
He probably gets his paper delivered.
Yep. I saw a bottle of milk this morning outside someone's house. I didn't know that milkman was still about.
Mum gets it delivered, yeah.
Yeah. Milkman's okay. still going.
Going strong. Right, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Anything you're short of, leave him a note.
Not just milk.
Well, what are you talking?
The mistletoe eggs?
Maybe anything else? Any other dairy products? Or?
I never...
Right, yeah, so then this is all very conversational. There's some bits and pieces around a crossword, which comes back later on in a pretty poor callback. What is it? Something about dance, it's foxtrot is the answer.
Yeah, cryptic question about... it wasn't even cryptic, the first one. It was about a dance routine 3 and 4.
I can't remember the actual wording of the question, but...
Yeah. Something like dance... step before a gallop or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, and then... So she's sort of kind of nagging him. Not nagging him, it's a sexist term, but...
badgering.
She's badgering him, you know, appropriate for the countryside. Badgering him for about not, you know, taking his duty seriously and learning the rhythms of the earth. And then he's like, well, he kind of dismisses it, I guess, is how it ends. And as she's walking out, he goes, fuss pot. And she's like, what? Because, you know, it's the answer to the crossword question, but it also relates to the scene.
Yeah.
It's excellent writing.
It was. Yeah, well done.
Fastidious something. A vessel for the fastidious.
Trying to say, it's used quite a lot, isn't it? The crossword puzzle used to dig at someone, isn't it? I've seen that quite a few times in different ones where it's like they're doing the crossword puzzle and it's like, fucking bitch. Oh, three down. like, you know, but not like that. Fucking but it's like bitch. Something like that. You say something like to someone.
An unpleasant woman, two words.
Like, but they'll say something and the person's like, what? And it's like, oh, three down.
It's used as a running gag in Hot Fuzz.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, what is it? Old bag or something. Like that. Hag, that's it. Yeah.
Hag.
That's a nice little bit there.
Classic trope.
Yeah. Then, so what's the next scene? It's the next scene is Audrey and Marjorie having a chat.
Yeah, Audrey. Yeah.
What
is it, Audrey?
Audrey is Penelope Keith's character's name.
Oh, is it?
I think so. Isn't it?
I'm just calling her
Keith. Audrey.
I've got Keith right there.
Well, let's just go with that.
Keith is Penelope Keith's name.
I know that.
Alright. Audrey. There's not many Audreys. Audrey Hepburn is one. Audrey Hepburn.
There's an Audrey in Coronation Street, wasn't there?
That's Deirdre, I think.
Oh, I think it's an Audrey as well, isn't there?
Is this relevant
to me? No, Audrey and Deirdre is like Mario and Wario. There's Audrey and Deirdre. That's what their relationship was like.
Wario?
It's Mario, and he's like the Bizarro Mario, so it's Wario. It's just fucking nonsense. I'm not saying Wario.
No, I was like, I've always pronounced
it Mario, is it? It's not Mario.
No, but I thought it's just like Wario. Wario sounds so like waft. Wario.
But he's the bad Mario, isn't
he? Yeah. Scottish Wario.
So I'm not going to say Mario and Wario. No, it's Mario and Wario.
Yeah, but just because they're like got a different sort of doesn't mean you have to pronounce the words exactly the same.
Yes, it does.
No, it
does.
Don't.
Wario.
What would you say?
I'd say Wario.
What's wrong?
I genuinely say Wario.
Do you?
There you go, look.
Oh.
It's an idiot as well.
Fair enough. No, it just sounded really weird.
Wario. But I watched Breakfast at Tiffany's recently.
Yeah. Is it Chef Breakfast?
No.
Said I think I remember the film. Oh, yeah, I recall. I think she both kind of liked it. Yeah, it wasn't a bad film, written by Truman Capote. And if it annoyed me, right, is that It's called Breakfast at Tiffany's, right?
Well, no fry-ups. Where is this leading?
Well, no. It's tenuous because, like, at the beginning, the whole point of it is that she gets depressed or whatever. When she's depressed, she goes to Tiffany's.
Okay.
To have a look at all the, you know, jewellery and that. But Breakfast at Tiffany's, right? She eats a fucking croissant out of a bag outside in the street looking in the window.
Right.
Okay.
Because I thought it was like, you know how there's like a cafe in Debenhams?
What?
I thought it was like that kind of setup. I thought there was like a cafe, like a restaurant or something in Tiffany's. I thought, oh, I've seen
like a food court.
Yeah. She had a spudger like in
the. Did ladies in the Breakfast at Tiffany's universe.
But I thought, yeah, that's like a restaurant in like, I don't know, fucking Harrods or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought she was having some sort of champagne.
John Lewis Cafe.
Yeah, I thought she was having some sort of champagne breakfast in Tiffany's. But she was eating like a fucking sausage, bean, and cheese melt out on the street.
Sausage, bean, cheese melt. Oh, God.
It's like, it's hardly breakfast at Tiffany's, is it? Fuck off. I was livid. The whole film was like.
Yeah, but when did she have breakfast at Tiffany's? That wasn't the major plot point. That wasn't like, you know, a. Like a culinary film, was it? Like, yeah. Literally looking at the different breakfast foods that just happened to it.
What that poster would have been had it been her just sitting down in a really grotty
like cafe. Just like Sainsbury's Cafe.
Gutbuster in Tiffany's.
No black pudding.
Chip on the foot.
Fried potatoes.
Oh, it's chips as well. Chips with a fried breakfast is a real low point. That is a real low.
I can't believe that's what you thought the film would be.
I thought she had like a... I didn't think she had a fry-up. I thought she had like an elegant breakfast. Like a champagne and something, like salmon or whatever.
Eggs Florentine.
Exactly.
With champagne.
It's like fancy, yeah, it's a smoked salmon or something. I thought
why would you think that was the point? That was the,
well, I thought that's why it's called Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Wait, okay.
The thing is, Chris, you say we've got nothing in common. Yeah, no common ground to start from and we're falling apart.
What?
Okay. And I say, what about Breakfast at Tiffany's? And Chris said, I think I remember the film. And yeah, I recall, we both kind of liked it. And I said, well, that's one thing we've got. Yeah?
Mm.
And she said, the thing that annoyed me about it was that she didn't actually eat Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Extended lyrics.
Yeah. By Deep Blue Something. Good song, isn't it? You say that we got nothing in common.
What is your favourite breakfast out of interest?
Good question. It's Florentine, it's quite nice. Is that one with hollandaise sauce? Is that Florentine?
No, or Benedict? It's Florentine's with anything with like spinach.
Spinach.
What I don't understand with eggs, right? You got.
Here we go. This is Mark's egg bit. Off you go.
It's not a bit.
Listen, guys, what I don't understand about eggs is, have you noticed this?
Have you ever noticed?
All right, so scrambled eggs.
What's the deal with eggs? No, Markfield. Failed, whatever.
It's the naming convention of eggs. So you've got scrambled.
Sure.
Boiled.
Sure.
Fried.
Right.
Fried eggs. That's what you're throwing them at someone's house, isn't it?
Egg fried eggs.
Fried. Yeah. I know it's weird, but there is such a thing as a baked egg.
Oh, yeah. Disgusting. Yeah,
coddled. Yeah.
Deranged.
No, you have baked eggs. And
I believe you. It's just not right. It just doesn't seem right.
It's sort of poached as well. Yeah. So, totally fine, all good.
Okay.
So they're all words that can be followed by the word egg.
Okay.
Yeah.
Omelette.
Yeah.
Omelette, yeah.
Weird, isn't it?
It's French, isn't it?
It's just a French scrambled egg, isn't it? Sort of.
No.
French egg pancake. An egg cake. Pancake. Peg. Omelette is French for egg pancake.
But answer to your question, scramblies, great choice. Toast, got any avocado, something like that.
What's going in your scrambled egg? What's your technique?
Good question. Microwave. A bit of chorizo in there, that's lovely.
I might try that tomorrow. I've got some left over of everything.
Chorizo.
My technique is, and I'll tell you why it's a bloody good one, it's a little bit butter to start.
Mm, it's got to be butter.
And then you slowly.
This podcast is sponsored by butter.
Any specific? No, no, just butter.
Precedent.
Slowly, three eggs. Little stir, little stir, little stir.
Yeah.
Three or four out of nine. That's the temperature.
Mm.
And then just keep cooking that till it starts to come together. Not too like hard.
Not too hard. Yeah.
You're looking for something. You're looking for it to feel like scrambly. Mm.
Exactly.
Yeah. You want to take it off the heat just before time, so it can continue cooking for a little while, won't it?
And if you got any like I have been adding like a splash of milk sometimes. So if you got any like double cream, splash.
Lovely, a decadent.
Salt, pepper, parsley.
Interesting.
Salt goes in last though, just to keep that little flavour. This has just gone off the rails again.
Yeah, right. We got to that conversation with Audrey, and she's talking about how she can mould him and stuff. And let's not forget, we didn't mention this in the first half before the show started, that she's a widow.
Yeah, and three episodes in, and she's mentioned about how he's only been there for a week. We're assuming that her husband's just died.
Well, I don't know. She did turn up to the church in all black.
Yeah, she did.
It's all fall into place now.
That's an interesting thing. You think now all the... You know, you have like concepts where it's like objectifying and obviously like jokes that are at the expense of women and things like that.
I would never do that.
But that obviously... No, but like back then would have been socially acceptable, but now obviously you wouldn't necessarily have them.
The good old days.
What about the concept of women have to change a man's personality and that whoever he is at that point isn't good enough and that she has to change him and completely mould him into someone that she wants?
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that should... Does that still go on in sitcoms? I don't really know. I don't really watch a lot of TV.
Not that I can think of, but I don't tend to watch any, like, what would be, you consider, like, this is going to be a show.
No, I just thought it was interesting as a thing. Like, you say, have that concept, don't you? If you had that now of saying, like, oh, there's this guy, but he's, I don't like who he is, so I'm going to change
he's
him.
He's a layabout.
No, I think it's, like, a pretty common trope, isn't it?
But this guy's not a layabout, is he? Because he's obviously, like, a massively successful, self-made millionaire. So it's not that he's not,
you know,
a decent member of society. He's not the personality that she wants. So she thinks it's fine to completely change him. If that was a role that was reversed and a man was saying, right, well, I don't like, I'm going to change this woman's personality to fit my ideal.
Agenda, yeah.
Is that something that's, you know.
Yeah, why isn't there a straight pride?
That's every day.
That's an interesting question. I don't know if that exists in comedy today. I would like to know the answer to that question.
Do you think it'd be something we can like research, know about? We'll just throw it out there. We don't know.
This is a podcast by three sitcom experts. We don't watch TV, but
we watch actual good sitcoms nowadays.
we all stopped watching TV in about 2005, but you know. Main stuff I watch is just like, you know, 30-second clips on like Twitter and stuff. I don't really watch a TV program live. Or, I don't know, whenever I go to my mum's, she's watching Tat on TV.
No.
Watching out the deck or whatever.
Yeah, just watching things on...
The Masked Singer.
Crazy.
So the next scene after that is we finally see Devere's mum. I don't know what her name is.
It's a long name, isn't it?
Yeah, the Polish.
Long Forest.
Is she Polish
name.
Or
Czechoslovak? Czechoslovak.
Where's the Polish bit come from then?
What Polish bit?
You said Polish earlier, didn't
he's
you?
Half Czechoslovak and half...
Polish.
Is he half Polish or foreign?
Well, I don't know.
Wait, his dad was Polish. R.O.P.
Let's go check. So the daddy used to be. Let's go check.
The humour here is that she says funny words sometimes, gets phrases wrong. Her accent was all over the place.
Yeah, a little bit Welsh, I felt.
A little bit Welsh. What's the gist of that kind of scene? It went on a bit. And what was she saying?
She was sort of telling him that he had been, he was basically being a bit slovenly, and he was, you were still in your pyjamas and you let her in. Well, she won't come back again. So I think mum's pushing for him to sort of settle down with her and sort of, because she's very well thought of in the village.
Yeah.
So it would up their kind of standing because really. She said to him, you've got money, but no history. So she was very keen for them to kind of get
ingratiated
into that society and that sort of village life.
That's a really good point to touch on.
She feels that's the door.
Because it felt like the mum wanted to get involved with the community. And then Penelope Keefe's character, Audrey, made a point that she didn't want her to. Essentially, she did feel like she didn't
because she's a foreigner.
Yeah,
leave means leave. Brexit means Brexit.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I don't. So what? Who thought that she didn't want him?
Terrifying birds. What?
What?
Sorry, I'm scared by the pigeon.
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember what you.
Right, so then the couple of times of jokes in that was like him going, well, I'm the boss, and then she said, do something, and he's like, oh, yes, mother, and that was a big laugh.
That happened a couple of times.
Big laugh, yeah. Yes, mother. Brilliant. So what happens after that? She comes around again, and then that's when they agree to have the... He wants to... No, so the next one is...
Picking your nose and just pointing at me. Thanks.
No, the next scene is... There's the scene that was It was framed funnily where De Vere comes out and there's the old groundskeeper man, and he's like.
Should we explain what poo sticks are?
We're not on the poo stick scene yet. Before that, he steps out of the house dressed like a country gent.
Stop talking about poo sticks.
Yeah,
just love it so much.
He's dressed as a country gent, and he goes out and speaks to the gamekeeper, a groundskeeper man with the big sideburns. And it looked very much like the Ted and Ralph, and we've said.
Yeah, that was a really good shout. I did a quick Google for that and couldn't see any initial. Classic level of research that I do. But
I saw that Ted and Ralph was inspired by John Borman, a documentary about John Borman, who couldn't relate to his Irish gamekeeper or something. So I don't know, that's a very specific reference. But the gamekeeper's like a good foot and a half shorter than he was, and it looked like he was standing in a hole, which is quite funny.
He was really badly shot. He was quite a tall man as well.
A tall man. And the next scene is poo sticks. So Keith is playing poo sticks on her own. Bit weird. Pointless. It's a different time. There was no, like, you know,
yeah.
Twitter or
and
anything.
And they didn't have a TV, as we'd established.
Didn't have a TV. Posh. Countryside. Then De Vere comes along. Poo sticks, etc. Boring. And then, she says, I'm thinking. Then it starts raining, and they run away into the house.
And that rain.
He's like, oh my God, here it comes. And it just started raining.
Yeah. I think you had flash showers. That wasn't that bad.
Sometimes it literally is just like...
Sometimes you can see it coming towards you, but you don't go, here it comes. And then...
Yeah, sometimes you do.
I don't think you do. But
oh, you do sometimes.
Different in the countryside.
Is it?
Run into the house. Then that's when I have the truce. He wants to have a truce because he wants to learn stuff about being in the manor and how to do it properly for some reason.
Well, because he lives there.
But why? He wasn't interested up to that point.
Yeah, but he's only been there a week.
Has he only been there for a week?
Yeah,
episode three or something.
Nah,
were you questioning timeline?
The mum as well. The mum have been the press pestering him. One thing we should probably get down, just I don't think we have covered it, is the clock.
Oh my
That's
God.
Quite an important plot device.
It comes in a couple of times. So right at the very first scene when the Vicar's greeting everyone, the old man comes out. Is it the same guy as the gamekeeper? Or is it a different man with sideburns?
I think it's the same guy because they're massive sideburns.
Why make it confusing to see if you put sideburns in it? But so he's like, oh, thank you so much for fixing the church clock. And he's like, oh, no problem. Then it's Keith goes, come around to my house and fix my grandfather clock or whatever it's called. No, it's a long clock or whatever. And he goes around and it turns out that it's broken because he left a screwdriver in there. I got a big laugh. It's pathetic. Yeah. So then he fixes her clock, etc.
But he's fixing it during the thing because we talked about when she goes round to his house for dinner and that, she's 40 minutes late because she hasn't got a clock.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
And also, when Audrey and Marjorie are having their conversation, she says something about, oh, he's fixing my clock. And she goes, and she's, Marjorie pretty much says, like, oh, he's shit at fixing clocks. And she's like, well, you know, he's been in it for so long. You know, it doesn't harm him, it's not harm to anyone, let him do it. So, yes, then we're having the thing about doing the manor and stuff, and then she goes, okay, that's my part of the bargain is that she would teach him what to do in the rhythms of the earth and stuff, mm-hmm. How to be a farmer, etc., how to delegate things on the manor. His part of the truce was that he would have to come to church on Sunday, 10 a.m., on the dot.
Mm.
Right. Have a good time. Oh, right, yeah. It's a really funny... probably one of the highlights of the... my joke of the week, actually, for this, is they're playing poo sticks, right? And he's like, he'd never heard of poo sticks. She's like, I can't believe you never heard of poo sticks or Winnie the Pooh. I suppose you think AA Milne is a motoring organisation.
Yeah, I saw you right.
Lovely stuff, I thought.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff.
Because it does sound like a...
AA Milne, yeah, brilliant. AA, Automobile Association, so... I'm with more than. Mm-hmm. RAC. Yeah, different.
Green flag.
Different. Hilarious, right? His mum's in charge of sorting out the wines, right? And he suddenly realises that she's chilling the red wine. That's not what you do. That's not what you do, you warm it. But what's she warming? She's warming the champagne.
Unbelievable.
Picks up the champagne. It's so hot.
It was probably like trembly little thing.
Yeah, rubbish. And then he goes out and it pops because it's hot and stuff. Absolute dog shit. And then Penelope Keith comes in half the evening and she goes home and the clock's chiming and for all intents and purposes the clock is fixed. Perfect. She goes to sleep. Gonna get up bright and early for the church. But cut. But continue.
Before that, though, she was saying to was he like
Brabinger, the butler. Yeah,
saying about how she wouldn't stand for any more negativity about De Vere, who's actually quite a nice man.
A nice man.
And saying, and he said, "Oh, but I've never said any bad words about him." And she's like, "Well,
so you fucking did, don't lie to me."
Yeah, it was a big fight. And then she just went to bed, basically.
Sleepy.
Just saying they're all good now.
Well, it was late. It was late. We saw that. I don't know whether it had mentioned what time she'd came back, because when it went to the clock said it was 1 a.m., so wasn't it?
The clock struck 1, and then down she run.
Hickory-dickory-dock. Keith ran up the clock. I was trying to work out if she was acting drunk.
Yeah, I think she's a bit pissed. Because obviously they've had red wine and champagne. The
beer
double.
Beer. Wine before beer, you'll feel a bit queer. Beer before wine, you'll feel fine.
Wine and champagne.
You're gonna get aim.
Christ.
Anyway, so I think she was coming back a bit tipsy and obviously saw that the clock had struck. I don't know whether that meant that she thought, because what had happened? Clocks went forward or they went
I had to work it out in my head, spring forward.
So it must have gone forward. But then she must have maybe not realised that she had got back a lot later than she thought it was. Because presumably if it's 1 o'clock forward on the thing.
Is it midnight?
She would think it was 12, wouldn't she? No. So it's 1 o'clock. It's 1 o'clock, but it should have been 2 o'clock.
Right, so cut to the next scene, right? He's supposed to be reading a lesson, yeah, out of the Bible.
I've never heard of it called as like lessons.
So someone's been to church, what a lie.
Is it referred to as a lesson?
No, I don't know. I've never heard of it. Oh,
okay. It was, yeah?
Read the passage or...
Yeah, I read his passage, which I'd never heard anything else.
Or sermon. Or...
That's what the vicar says.
What?
As long as you get a feature, you get a guest first.
Guest
speaker. That's a lesson.
Oh, okay.
Like vicar featuring the beer.
Support act.
So, cut to the church, right? Everyone's leaving. Keith is turning up. What the hell's happened?
Unbelievable. We clocked it.
Clock is the right word. So, what happens then, everyone?
What, the bit that I lost my shit at, or just in general?
Well, it's all very odd. It all starts to go very strange. So she's like, what's happened? And then it's really, really like close cropped shot of the vicar's face looking smug.
Yeah, but it was like a...
Overly smug.
If like 100% obviously is a normal zoom, it was like a 120% zoom. It yeah. was just enough to make it noticeable.
Oh, there's always one. There's always one who's late when the clocks go forward.
Really weird vicar.
It's like, where did that come from? What the fuck's your problem?
You turn the other cheek, come on. Fuck, you know.
And then it did that quick pan to like the church clock,
yeah,
which I'm sure we'll get a video of this, but like I lost my shit out, like, bow, and the clock spinning around.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what that was. Just insane.
And that's it, really.
Yeah, that was the end of the episode.
So there you go, the sound assessment. Our joke of the week, mine was A.A. Milne.
Yeah, we'll go with that. I wasn't...
Yeah, who cares?
I do care, but like, there was a lot of dialogue in this for me, and typically I'm not a fan of these sort of things. I compared it to Butterflies when we were watching it, in that sense, in that there's that sort of romance thing as well.
Okay, stand the test of time or whatever. I don't even know what criteria we're judging this anymore. I mean, like the themes and the dynamic, I can imagine work fine nowadays. He's a fish out of water. She's like a stick. She's really there, but she's been put out, and she's like trying to teach him the ways.
But the thing is,
you know, will they? Won't they? They will. They will.
They didn't seem opposite enough for me. Like he was a
because yeah, he man. Was quite yeah because he was still quite posh, wasn't he?
Yeah. Because I was expecting him. Because I think you said like greengrocer or something at some point. Is that right?
Yeah, he started as an East End barrow boy, I reckon. That's what it said, anyway.
Yeah, so I expected him to be like, what's his name? Dominic, someone, that sort of character. The bald guy. Is it Dominic?
Who?
You know that, the guy with the bald guy glasses on MasterChef?
Greg Wallace.
Greg Wallace, not
Dominic. Wallace, yeah. Greg, yeah. Yeah, Wallace would have been a great casting for this.
Wallace
into the Man of Bourne.
I expected like that sort of polar opposite, but I didn't
know. No, yeah, yeah. Because it...
Like a bit Cockney.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, but, there was...
Yeah, yeah. Because like in the setup and the premise, I felt the dynamic would be like he was like an imposter and like he was trying to be posh and stuff and he kept getting things wrong. But maybe there are. We've only seen one episode, but it seemed that the guy, Devere, was like way too... Obviously, he changed his name and stuff and he says, "Oh, Mum, please don't call me Brezlev or whatever in front of her." And she's like, "Shut up."
But he seemed pretty posh anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. He's wearing a nice gown, you know, he's got like a nice...
A gown.
a lovely blouse.
The pocket chief.
Yeah, the pocket chief.
Yeah.
You know, he was doing the crossword, he knew the words. He's an intelligent man. It's not like he was like a prince among men where he's obviously like trying to be like displaced. Someone he's not. Exactly. Like, you know, a sheep and wolf like him. But...
And
what? No, it didn't really work. But... I thought it was fine. I thought it was fine. It was a bit of a slog, a bit annoying to try and follow the dialogue because there were some long words. But it was fine. We liked it when she said stiffies. That was a funny part.
Unintentionally. For me, I think sitcoms like this would work better if there is that bigger dynamic.
Yeah, and they say stuff about bonus sometimes just keep us interested. All right, Chris, did you like it?
No, it's like YouTube comments. Boner at 3:15.
Click, you got the click link as well.
Yeah.
Stiffy's what?
Chris, did you like it?
It's all right. It was inoffensive. It was like, what was it? It was it's fluff, wasn't it? Like,
it was one. I unfortunately suspected this guy. It was going to be one of the middle of the road ones where we're just sitting there, like,
yeah,
this is just nothing.
All right, what's the game? I made a game. Stupid game. Mark has made a stupid game. Let's play the game. Let's play the fucking stupid game. Oh, we guess what it is. To the Spannerborn, you got to guess about tools.
Chris? To the
Man of Prawn, it's about shellfish.
What about to the Man or Born? So it's like, it's either a man or like a boat paddle.
Yeah, so do you want me to reveal the game for this week?
No.
We'll see you next week on.
What is it?
So this week's for Mark's stupid game is To the Man of Corn.
Is it about new metal bands? Is it?
Ish.
The Man of Corn. We're a backwards guy.
Mark. Corn?
Is it Corn with a K?
It's Corn with a K.
Oh. Not even corn. Like, is it
No.
You know.
Meat substitute.
Meat substitute. Is it a mycoprotein or a...
To the Man of Corn.
High biological, low biological. Which one?
I'll read out some song titles.
Okay.
You have to tell me whether or not they're songs by Korn. So it's like a true or false.
Jesus. This is going to be good.
I've really been looking forward to this one. I think you'll both enjoy it.
Yeah, okay. Freak on a key.
I say that every week. So, Wood, you're up first. Black is the soul.
All right. Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, true.
Black is the soul.
It's a Korn soul.
How's soul spelt?
S-E, no, S-O.
The cobbler. The cobbler's anthem. Like, what is it?
Like, I'm going to fix these brogues. We've done this before, just doing words in a funny voice.
Yeah. Jones.
Yeah.
Cameltosis.
Doctor, I'm afraid. My bikini's too tight. Cameltosis. Yeah, it's a real one.
True.
Cameltosis. First dance at the wedding.
That would. Hate is strong.
Hate is strong. I'm going to say no.
False.
Is it false?
False.
This is going to be really easy.
Anything that sounds like really shit title, it's like, it's going to be false, isn't it?
James. Earache, my eye.
What? Ear Ache My Eye. A real.
It is a real song.
Yeah.
It's a Scottish national anthem.
Woods. Stay hydrated.
I'm going to say that's true.
It's false.
Oh. Oh.
It's Mr. Penaway here. Jones.
Yeah. False.
They're all just so ridiculous.
You can do it, Mark. You can do it.
Brian.
That's real. That's real. It's real, isn't it?
It's not.
Ah, Brian. All those new metal bands have always got a song called, like, you know, Jim or whatever. It's about someone who killed themselves. Well, Brian definitely hung himself in the woods.
The fun thing about this for me is obviously I've got the answers written there, but I don't remember writing most of these, and I wrote this really early on. This has been around since series 3.
It's like some fucking Mark Unplugged talking about the stories about behind his quizzes.
No, I just been wanting to do this for so long.
This one, this next one, I wrote back in 2017. It's a really you know, this is a quiz that means a lot to me. This one's called To the Man of Gorn. Thank you.
Acoustic.
Words. Helmet in the bush.
Right, okay, well, that's true.
Yeah,
because it is. It's true.
Oh, I might get into corn when I wake up. Pop it up. On the...
Jones, blood on a rose.
Blood on a rose. That's a face. Face? False.
It is false. Last two now, so one each. Wood.
I keep struggling to keep a straight
face. I really am. Jingle balls.
True.
It is true.
Oui.
For the draw. So you're playing for me to win.
How's he winning?
For all. You've both got one right each. You need to get this one right to afford the draw.
Okay. I thought I was winning. That's annoying.
No, you both got one wrong.
Okay, go on.
So, for the draw. Paranoid and aroused.
False. It's a real one. Paranoid and aroused.
True. It's true.
What are you doing? Searching your mind for the Korn back catalogue.
Well, it must be on a bootleg. I can't
remember. must be a B-side.
Oh, thank you for that. I've genuinely been waiting for such a long time.
If you are paranoid and aroused, just put some tape over your webcam. That's what I say.
The tape just distorts it in one blue tack.
Yeah, sellotape to see through.
like a Vaseline like smear.
You can see me wanking, but it's a bit blurry.
Right, Wids, then, yeah, you know the score.
I haven't chosen one for fucking ages.
No.
We should win a game here.
That'd be for health and efficiency.
What's it called? Health and efficiency.
So this is
the fuck one. Is that?
It's a new one that's been added not too long ago. It's written by the guy that wrote 2.4 Children.
Oh. Yes.
And yeah, this has been Shitcom. Thanks very much. As always, we will see you then. I've been Mark. That's Chris Wood.
Yep.
It's Chris Wood. How do you get it? Mark's here. Jesus, bookended. No, got a phrase wrong. Bookended it. Goodbye.
I didn't even get to say bye this time.
Jones.
Chris said, Chris, say bye twice.
Bye. Call Blimey, we, those name
tags.
Those name tags were a waste of time.
See you, Call Blimey.
What?